My name's Carly Daniels. I'm Head of Production Science and Development at the National Lobster Hatchery in Padstow in Cornwall. I do actually have a PhD in lobster, so officially I'm a Doctor of Lobsters. The National Lobster Hatchery is a marine conservation, education and research charity. So there's our stock enhancement work, which is the main part of our marine conservation. It's rearing and releasing lobsters back into the world to help support the local fishery. I basically run all the production of lobsters, so actually rearing of little baby lobsters with the team that's there at the hatchery. And that's basically what we're all about. So what we do is we get females in from the wild and we'll let them naturally release their larvae into our tanks. And the larvae will gently float to the surface, which is fine in a controlled environment like the hatchery. However, in the ocean, obviously they're just floating around in the surface waters and they become prey for anything that comes along and is feeling a bit hungry. What we do is we give them a better chance of survival through those vulnerable stages and then release them back into the world when they're more able to fend for themselves. Lobsters are crustaceans, so their backbone is on the outside. They're what we call invertebrates. They've got 10 legs and a hard outer shell. So the 10 legs, they're not actually all true legs. So you've got the 8 walking legs that you'll see, and then the 2 claws at the front are modified walking legs. Lobsters are really amazing. There's some fun facts I can tell you about. Lobsters taste with their feet would probably be the first. It sounds a bit strange, not something we'd do, but they actually have kind of hairs across their legs and the modified pincers on their feet that will actually sense kind of chemicals in the water. So basically, if they're walking along the ground and they happen to put their foot onto a piece of food, the hairs will understand that that's a bit of food and they can pick it up with the little modified pincers and eat it. So as well as our marine conservation work that we do, so the rearing and releasing of lobsters back into the world, we actually run a programme of research and education, just trying to learn more about lobsters, to understand lobsters and to understand the work that we do, the impact that it has on the natural stocks, but also the broader marine environment as well. But the education is key, really. So being able to impart all of our knowledge that we have and we've gained on lobsters and the fishery and our stock enhancement work to the general public is really important. Visitors will come through the doors, they'll get to see all the little tiny lobsters and they'll get to experience pretty much being in the hatchery and understanding on a day-to-day basis what we do. And it's that that really keeps the charity going. We rely on those visitors to come and see and learn about everything that we do. Another fun and interesting fact about lobsters is the fact that they live to over 100 years old. They're very, very slow-growing animals. So the largest recorded lobster was caught in Nova Scotia in Canada, and that was over 20 kilograms in weight. Here in Cornwall, under the Foy Pier, a diver, I think it was back in 1931, found a European lobster that was 1.26 metres in length. So actually it's nearing my height if you stuck it on its tail and put its claws up in the end. So it was a massive lobster. I do eat lobster, I have to say. I did spend the first 10 years working at the hatchery never eating lobster. And the only reason I don't eat lobster probably is because I can't afford to. It's such an expensive commodity. Having said that, it's not always been like that. And there's a nice little fact about when lobster was abundant a long, long time ago, prisoners used to be fed lobster because it was seen as a poor man's food. And actually, there's a case in Massachusetts in America where the servants tried to sue their master because they were trying to feed them lobster more than 3 times a week, which anyone these days would be absolutely delighted, I would have thought. It's a very different commodity to what it used to be. So lobsters grow by molting their shell, which basically just that means that they have to get rid of their old hard exoskeleton, so the skeleton on the outside of their body, and they create a new one underneath. And then once they've managed to wriggle out of their old shell, which is very difficult to do, it kind of splits down the back of the tail. The last bit to come off is almost like a turtleneck jumper. So they're kind of pulling their claws out of the sleeves of their claws, I guess. So they're pulling themselves out of it. It's quite a stressful process. And then underneath, they're left kind of jelly-like. So they're almost naked underneath. And it's a very vulnerable time for them. but the calcium that they've drawn out of their old shell eventually will help them harden up. I think every lobster has its own personality, definitely. Certainly working with them on a day-to-day basis, you get to interact with the animals that we have on site. And although we don't have them there for a very long time, kind of a maximum of a three-month period while you're rearing them up, you get to know them, you get to feed them every day. And they're quite clever. They get to learn that food can come from above, and you'll see them raising their claws in the air when basically food is available for them. You get ones that kind of will shy away from you a bit more, or they'll be really bold and come out for the food when you have the food there. We do actually occasionally name our lobsters. There was a white lobster that we had in for about a three-month period that I named Tallulah. Not really sure why, but yeah. Another fact about lobsters would probably be they're actually blue in colour. Not many people know that. So lobsters will turn red when they're cooked, and it's actually a breakdown between the protein and the colour pigment in the shell when it's heated. So the astaxanthin, which is the colour in the shell, breaks up with the protein, and then they turn from this blue kind of mottled brown colour that you would expect to see a lobster in the wild to this bright, vibrant red colour that everyone seems to think is the colour of lobsters, but it's not the true colour. All the technicians at the hatchery kind of get very sad when we have to release the lobsters back into the world. But at the same time, it's a good thing. We're getting to put something back into Mother Nature. And that's, I think, what drives everyone that works at the hatchery. It's the ability to give something back and really be able to make a difference.